On stream restoration and species recovery to order.
We're going to the home now.
We need to get started on our business. Do we have everyone here this morning?
Mr. Shields.
Open the work session on Senate Bill 834. Would staff like to present it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 834 has been actually passed out of this committee one time previously. It is the bill, if you recall, that requires the State Department of Fish and Wildlife to create a pilot program to purchase trout from private aquaculture businesses within Oregon using at least 10% of the annual trout hatchery funds. Those were estimated last month when we looked at this bill at $186,000 each year. The amendment you have before you is the -A3 amendment. And the only thing that this amendment does is place an emergency clause on the bill. There's no revenue impact, and you should have in your file an indeterminate fiscal impact on this measure.
The report. What
are your wishes? Mr. Chair, let's move the dash 83 on this. Can you send a bill 834?
I've heard the motion.
I'm trying to catch up here a little bit. Looking for my file. Have we moved any amendments before?
No. Just one more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, we did indeed amend this bill quite a lot. Our first time around, basically, originally, it was that the department was to spend 25% of its yearly departmental budget, trout hatchery budget, on aquaculture product, basically trout, to raise to maturity. Instead of creating a mandate for the department, they created a pilot. Instead, this bill, as we initially passed out of committee, creates a pilot project to use only at minimum 10% of the annual trout hatchery fund.
Did we have, I'm trying to remember, in the testimony, did we have agreement from all sides? Oh, I should, no, not agreement, but do we have any opposition to this?
Mr. Chair, members.
I'm looking at a letter from Oregon Trout.
Right. It's my recollection there was indeed some concern about dedicating some of the current hatchery funds in this other way. But there was some hope that the long-term benefits, there'll be a cost savings. So short-term concerns are certainly.
Any other comments or questions? We've heard the motion. Would the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Cruz. Roll call.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Yes.
Senator
Hughes.
Aye.
Senator Lawson.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, move the bill to the Secretary of Defense recommendation.
You've heard the motion.
I didn't.
Move Senate Bill 834 with the recommendation. Is there any opposition to the bill? Motion carries. House bill will now go into work session on House Bill 3612A.
You want to carry it for first, Mr. Chairman?
What was the bill again?
3612.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House Bill 3612A. This is a bill that establishes civil penalties for violations of commercial fishing laws or rules when the gain is at least $5,000. So it indeed creates civil penalties that would be deposited into the Commercial Fisheries Fund. It also creates the Oregon Albacore Commission. Again, we have seen this bill before as well. It's come back to committee. You have before you the -A2 amendment, which allows the department to assess, levy, and collect fees not to exceed 3% of the average unit price of albacore in order to fund this commission, this new commission that's being created.
The A2 amendments were brought up to allow the processors to be involved in this process. We realized after we got the bill going, it excluded the processors. Good amendments. I'd like to make a motion to move the A2 amendments into House Bill 3612.
You heard the mic, and you're getting the motion.
Aye.
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 I'm going to skip on the agenda and deal with Senate Bill 778. Excuse me, open the public hearing.
All we did was that.
Sure did. We didn't move that down.
I thought we just drafted an amendment. We need to move the bill, don't we?
You go on your bill, sir?
Yeah, you do. No objections to it.
Back up here, folks. We need to reopen the work session.
I think you already opened the hearing on 778. I think you need to close the hearing on 778 first.
Back up to reopen House Bill 3612. Mr. Thompson, would you like to make this motion?
I'd like to move 3612 to follow the 3612 as amended with a dash to amend to follow the due package.
Heard the motion. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Jensen?
Aye.
President
King? Aye.
President
Cruz?
Aye.
President
Leonard?
Aye.
President Morgan? Aye.
Yes.
Hi.
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 All right. Now the most serious. Go for it.
I'm sorry.
I wish you were going to the Senate. He's back here. Senator Connell will carry the...
Hold on a minute. Thank you, Master Bill.
I will open the public hearing on Senate Bill 778.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 778, we're looking at the Dash 2 amendments that do entirely replace the original bill. The measure allows, with the amendment, allows an increase in the Fish and Wildlife Commission from 7 to 9 members, with the option of adding an additional 2 public at-large members to that commission. It sets those new members' terms. Importantly here, it transfers rulemaking authority from the commission to the director. It establishes that the commission is the initial appeal board for administrative rule challenges, requires the director to report quarterly on activities of the department to this joint committee. It also directs this joint committee to study the organization and operation of the State Department of Fish and Wildlife and report its findings to the next legislative assembly. And it also has an emergency clause with the Dash 2 amendment.
Thank you. Called Jim Greer and Jeff Selmer.
Thank you. morning. Just for the record, Jeff Feldman, Fish and Wildlife Commission member. Good morning. I've had the opportunity to work with Representative Nestle and Representative Thompson on this bill, on the development of the bill, and we've testified before you in Astoria. I feel that the bill is much improved over the original version, right? I'm quite pleased with the version 2. We do still have some concerns about the need at this time to go to an additional 2 commission members, and I would like to have Director Greer present our thoughts on that.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. For the record, Jim Greer, Director of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. As you can see from our testimony here, we are working between the -1 and -2 amendments to this bill. And so I think the comments we'll make today are relative to the -2, but we did have some concerns with the original -1, which essentially required the addition of the 2 additional commissioners. In all the discussions I've had with members of this committee and other legislators, I think what you have been looking for from us is more accountability. And we had quite a discussion, I think, at the Astoria hearing on this particular bill about how are we going to be more accountable at the field level. And then you also have some very legitimate concerns, I think, in terms of the workload of the commission and their ability to make very well-informed decisions on very complex issues. And I think that's where this whole issue of maybe splitting off key aspects of our agency's activities to certain commissioners and create subcommittees would be a more efficient way of getting more informed on some of these complex issues, specifically to commercial fisheries and marine resource concerns. We believe the changes in the bill are good in terms of us having to come back to this committee and give a report of our organization in terms of what efficiencies and effective changes might be necessary, as well as anything that you may find necessary to direct the agency to do in terms of the accountability issues with our field folks. What I put in front of you, I believe at this stage of the game, is an accountability plan. At the following the meeting that we had in Astoria, I presented a vision of how we would address these issues of customer service, accountability at field level, and creating some subcommittees with the commissioners so that we could address these more complex issues. Since then, I'm in the process of working up an accountability plan and strategic plan that will state very specific activities, responsibilities, and timeframes for when those will be implemented and the net results be reported upon. So essentially, we would be supportive of this bill if it did not have that one line in it regarding the 2 additional commission members that would create a total of 9. And we believe that the bill should really focus on the accountability and the reporting requirements that the bill has in it right now and focus on those kinds of issues that we would be bringing back to the next legislative assembly to report to you on. And that, in a nutshell, is our report for you this morning.
I'm sorry, Mr. Greer, I was talking. My mind was somewhere else. You do understand that the amendments say may, does not say shall.
Okay.
Any questions or comments, the department? Representative Thompson.
My only comment is a positive one. I think the department made a good move in this, and I appreciate their willingness to work on this issue. The original bill, I realize, was a poor bill. I think they made it it was only a concept. I think they made it into a good bill, and I think it will help alleviate part of the problems in the future.
So you are comfortable with the additional members being nay, or would you like that taken for out?
Sure. Just a point of order. I think what it says is two members of the commission may be appointed from the state at large, but the department's objection is that we're going from 7 to 9, and that's not discretionary. That's the requirement, as I understand your testimony.
My understanding, maybe didn't say it, but the discussions I've had were that they may appoint, may go to 9. Now, whether that is properly written or not.
I'm looking at the -2 amendments, lines 6 and 7. It says there is established a state Fish and Wildlife Commission consisting of, and 7 is blocked out and 9 is inserted. The only nay is that the commission, the 2 members of the commission may be appointed from the state at large. Is a good question. I'd like to ask Jeanette Holman, could you come up to the mic, please?
Which one do you want?
Yeah. That was not the intent.
Mr. Chair, I don't even know which bill you're working on.
We're working on 778-2.
Okay. Would you please repeat your question?
The question from Representative Leonard is that on line 20 we speak of 2 members of the commission may be appointed from the state at large. However, up on line 7 it says that the commission will consist of 9 members. And I think we need to say that it may consist of up to 9 members. Would that be correct?
Mr. Chair, Jeanette Holman from Legislative Council. That's correct.
Mr. Chair, if we say it may consist of up to 9 members, there's no requirement there be any members.
Mr. Chair, perhaps what you want to say is shall consist of at least 7 members and up to 9 members.
Yeah. And may consist up to 9 members. Does the committee understand what we're doing now? If somebody pointed out an error in the drafting, this should, Jeanette, would you read again how that should read conceptually?
Mr. Chair, in line 7, it would read, shall consist of at least 7 members and may consist of 9 members.
Department doesn't have a problem with that, I assume. Mr. Carver?
That wording is better. I think probably with the stipulation in the bill that the Joint Committee will be working with the Department and will be reviewing performance, actually, addition of members could come in during that process. You probably don't have to specify even that you may put them in now.
What we're doing is giving that discretion to the Commission. Actually, to the governor.
To the governor.
Mr. Chair, is there some reason, is a workload question, or is there just, I mean, is it better to have 7 dough heads or 9 dough heads?
That was part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. They were at one point talking about subcommittees, and 9 members would make 3 equal subcommittees. But they're not quite, all that's going to take, but as I understand, they're not quite ready to move there yet. Mr. Carver?
We've identified the need for at least one standing subcommittee, that being on marine fisheries, because it's such a complex issue. It involves federal jurisdiction as well as state. At this time, we haven't defined what those other standing subcommittees would be, and frankly, the reason the earlier discussions for adding commission members was one of workload. If it gets to where we all have to be on 1 or 2 standing committees, you know, we're going to run ourselves dry, and then we thought we might need to have extra help. But until we get to that point, I don't know if it would really gain us anything.
Are we okay? Are we ready to move the bill?
What we need to do?
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like to call Jim Myron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jim Myron, representing Oregon Trout. We support the concepts in the -2. The only concern we've got, and I just wanted to put something on the record, is that if the commission goes to a subcommittee structure, I would hope that it's not their intent to operate these subcommittees in the dark without public involvement. Because any time less than a quorum of the commission meets, they don't have to do a public notice. They don't have to allow the public to be there. So I would hope it would not be the intent that these subcommittee meetings be held without
the public involvement. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments, questions?
Sure. I would agree, but it's my understanding that a legally appointed subcommittee cannot hold meetings without being posted for hearings. So that is my intent also.
Okay. We have enough members who can do it. Close the public hearing, open work session on Senate Bill 778.
Mr. Chair, I move the DAS 2 amendments to Senate Bill 778, including the conceptual amendment that would, on the DAS 2 amendments, be on line 7 that would that would say at least 7 members. And may consist of 9 members appointed by the governor.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Wouldn't it be cleaner to make the conceptual amendment first and then move the...
We can do that.
Mr. Chair, let me ask if I could suspend the rules for conceptual.
Right.
First, to suspend the rules to have conceptual.
Okay. We have a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Any objection? Motion carries. Now let's do the conceptual.
Mr. Chair, I'd make a conceptual amendment that would say there is established a state fish and wildlife commission consisting of at least 7 members and may consist of 9 members appointed by the governor.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Chair, I'd move the DAS 2 amendments consistent with the previous conceptual amendment.
Have you heard the motion? Any objection? Motion carries.
And Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 778 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
As amended. You've heard heard the motion. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
Yeah. Hi.
Aye.
Yes.
All right.
Motion carries. I would like to appoint Senator Ferrioli to the Senate carrier and Representative Leonard. Would you like to share the House there?
Thank you,
sir. Open the work session on House Bill 3225.
There you go.
Clarify what we have before us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3225, we've got 2 amendments before us this morning that we had talked about and anticipated coming. We have 3 amendments. 15 are what Cannon Grove and what was a gas station at our last meeting. The 16 have a different section 12, basically, and can't really help us through here. Basically, directing that the OWEP board would have an action plan that would move them toward the duties specified in Section 12, but essentially would operate under the current duties and responsibilities of the Watershed Enhancement Board for this biennium and would be required to come back and report to the Legislative Assembly on what further duties they might assume with respect to the Oregon Plan of
1966.
I'm now passing out a draft 17 amendment.
The 17
amendments are the concepts agreed to by the committee, with the exception that they have the Section 12 insert that we talked about on Tuesday night with some language corrections that remove language that the committee had not seen before, that had not been discussed and was, I believe, objectionable to some people. This is new language from Representative Thompson.
I'll object under Rule 15 of our rules to any, if you'd like to have a copy of the rules, to any conceptual amendment that isn't fully written in front of this body. I'd be more than happy to pass out the rules for this committee. That it has.
I'm going to suspend the rule.
Jeanette, let me clarify this again. Dash 17 are what we voted on Tuesday night, except that it has the Section 12 insert, corrected insert.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's the modified Section 12 insert.
And did that clarify there was one other error we found in the property purchases? Has that been corrected?
Mr. Chair, in what the committee adopted on Tuesday night, the language is on page 15 and 16 of the dash 17. That is the language the committee adopted in concept. My understanding is that the language that there to go back to what the committee, what was there before, you can look at the dash 16 points on the page. On page 16, lines 11 through 20 has the old language.
Of the dash 16?
Of the dash 16. The dash 16s are the only ones now that have the old language.
And give me that page citation again.
Pardon?
What page?
And the page on the, in the dash 17s that has the language the committee adopted in concept is at the bottom of page 15 and the top of page 16. The other thing these all sets of these amendments have done is, as you recall, we talked about, and with my understanding, it was included in the conceptual amendments on Tuesday night, to reinsert the existing duties of the board and some of the existing policy directions to the board that had been repealed in the dash 14 amendment. That language has been put back in, and the only thing that has been done is to delete duplication. So some of your sections may look a little bit different because of that.
Oh, Mr. Chair, the dash 17 amendments are from last day, the dash 14 amendments with the dash 014 amendments incorporated in it.
That's correct, with the exception that there was a modification to the dash 014s because some of the language was incorrect.
That mutually agreed upon modifications with the governor's office?
That's correct.
Which amendments are you talking about?
This is dash 17.
Okay.
Senator Farrelly, you'd like to speak to this on top of page 16, where we designate the land will be held by the appropriate state or local agency.
I believe in our discussions yesterday, we decided that that might be an error.
So, Mr. Chairman, let's look at page 16. The top, actually, it starts on page 15 in section 9. It goes from 9. Across page 15 and 16, the discussion earlier was that we thought that tax dollars ought to purchase property or, for retention by state agencies. And the discussion on the committee pointed out that that would preclude cooperative purchases that were funded partly by state, partly by nonprofits, which is cost-share opportunities. And we thought that those cost-share opportunities should not be precluded. And so the language allowing title to be held by other than state agencies was restored.
Okay, but we're doing that conceptually then to be...
Actually, no, the language is here, is it not?
I think it's a state...
What point of order?
Representative King?
On line 1 of page 16 of the dash 17, I think it refers to appropriate state or local agency, and I think that does reflect the conversation. I think that our conversation yesterday was not to do the shares with the nonprofit, is my memory. And I do see clearly it says an appropriate state or local agency, and that does reflect my memory of our conversation yesterday.
I think that's absolutely right. But as we had other discussions, we realized that we cut out a lot of people and a lot of opportunities for joint ownership and that sort of thing. So.
And a question for Jeanette. In the chapter and verse here, in either of the two other amendments, 15 or 16, that language is, or that those concepts are also treated. Under what section would that be? In either of those two?
Mr. Chair, in the dash 15, you see the same language as is in the dash 17, because that language is what the committee agreed on Tuesday night. The only amendments that have the, that go back to the old language are the dash 16.
So that's in,
that's on page 16 of the dash 16 amendments.
Okay, so the reference would be dash 16, page 16.
Lines 11 through 20.
That would include interest in these and lines. On line 14, it indicates interest in these lands and waters may be held by state and federal agencies charged not-for-profit land conservation organizations and trust, state institutions of higher education, independent not-for-profit institutions of higher education or political subdivisions of the state, so long as the agency continues to use the land or water for the purposes described under Section 4B, Article 15 of the Oregon Constitution. So that would restore the not-for-profit trusts, land conservation organizations, etc.
Representative Thompson, is that a... Do you have a concern about that?
Mr. Chair, can I take 1 second to confer with my colleagues?
Sure. Let's take a 5-minute recess. Somebody back to order? Again, we're dealing with House Bill 3225.
Oh, the original one here. 1660.
Representative Thompson.
Mr. Chair, I defer to my colleague.
Did you?
Thanks, Thompson. Would you like to just bring forward your whole amendment so we understand exactly what we have?
I'd like to defer to my colleague, Representative King.
I'm getting the language.
Right.
So
are we going to do some stuff on this? Because we have to send it to the county.
Representative King.
He's bailing on his book.
Speaker Snodgrass, you see what we've been dealing with?
And I'm out of uniform, too.
Speaker Snodgrass, that cost the committee extra not to have this hearing televised.
And we got
Mr. Chair, I would like to I move that we adopt as a conceptual amendment the language in the dash 16 on page 16 item 9 that's on lines 11 through 20 with the exception of one word on line 14, the word native. That they be moved into the dash 17 amendment.
Mr. Chair, point of clarification.
Senator
Tom, the Representative Thompson indicated that he would oppose any conceptual amendments based on the rules of the committee. What do you stand with that issue?
I would, in this one particular case, keep my mouth shut.
So basically what Representative Thompson is saying, that he's okay with any conceptual thing she wants to do to this, but he's going to oppose anybody else's?
Basically.
Okay, then unless we suspend the rules for the purpose of conceptual amendments, I'll object.
Actually, I've tried to make this a nonpartisan effort and tried to work together to put this together in place of what's gone on, and I'd be more than happy to sit down and discuss any way that any of my colleagues would like to do it. I believe this is a good bill. I believe it's the right thing to do, and I think it's a good thing for all of us.
Mr. Chair, after 3.5 months of sitting in the basement, I think we may, if I understand body language correctly, be able to move the bill. And if it takes a little give and take, I think that's okay. It's maybe building trust. Maybe.
Is there a motion to suspend the rules or not, Mr. McCullough? You've heard the motion to suspend the rules. All those?
I object because there may be other
objections
to it.
Yeah.
If we have to, I'd be more than happy to wait and get the language in front of us, let the rules say this. It's only time. We've been here for 4 months.
We'll talk about it so we know where we're going, so there's a higher level.
I think the solution to this is, Representative King, if we could discuss the conceptions before we start into a motion.
Well, let's do that, and maybe we can clarify this. I'm happy with that. And to speak, to help clarify that motion, that we would basically be substituting trying to get the section here.
Yeah,
section 13 item 9.
Which amendments are we talking about now?
If you're on dash 16 and you're on page 16, which would be a section 13 There's an item 9 beginning on page, on line number 11. And that we would be substituting that item 9 into the dash 17 in section 13 as item 9. So we would be substituting that language exclusive of the one word native that's on line 14 of the dash 16 amendments.
Hey, is that all? Everyone on the same page?
No. No, where is it? 17?
Page 15, are we talking on the bottom of page 15, section 9, on the dash 17?
Yeah,
okay.
But you
so we're substituting the dash 16 into the dash 17. That's the deal.
Everyone understand that?
Well, Mr. Chair. We have had in other drafts where the term habitat is used as opposed to native wildlife.
Right.
So do we want to just remove the native and leave it as a standalone
habitat?
Or do you want to add the word wildlife?
I was requested to delete that word native at the at the request of the Ballot Measure 66 sponsors, and that seemed to be acceptable. And if we need an explanation, I was consent to their wish.
I wasn't disagreeing with removing the native. I was asking whether we wanted to insert wildlife in its place or not.
No.
That's beyond the concept that I'd worked with. We'd need to address that issue.
Okay, I'm not sure.
I don't believe Representative that would be necessary.
Okay.
I don't think we'd get it. Representative Cruz?
While we're on the term native, Mr. Chair, on page line 1, page 13, native habitat has creeped in and several other places through the document.
Which one? Which dash?
Line 1.
17.
Okay.
Excuse me. Page 13, line 1, and several other places in the document, the term native habitat has creeped back in, and I would want to conceptually amend to just make it habitat wherever that appears.
I'd like to ask Paula Burgess to come forward and give her comments.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Paula Burgess, and I know now why I watched this from my office instead of being here. Do you want me to speak to that change? Is that
dash 17.
Oh, speak to the dash 17?
As well as the same one.
Okay. Dash 17 with the specific change that was made on holding title, including the removal of the word native habitat, is acceptable to the governor. Clearly, the governor's moved a long way from what he proposed, which was in 321, Senate Bill 321, and a very sort of minimalist approach to implementation of Measure 66. But he has agreed and is acceptable to the changes proposed in the dash 17 with those specific changes.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Any other discussions on the conceptions we're talking about?
Mr. Chairman, the
question that was brought up yesterday and amended into the dash 16 that we have before us also occurs in this section that we've amended conceptually, and it had to do with the allowance of title that might be held by state and local and federal agencies. So if we inserted the word local on line 15, excuse me.
We didn't hear the page. Please.
Yes, sir.
On the dash 16?
Dash 16, page 16, line 14.
Line 14?
15, 16, 14. Dash, line?
That was line 15.
Line 15. Line 15, thank you. The word local, state, and federal agencies would indicate that we were allowing for solar subdivision to hold title.
I'd like you to restate my motion then.
That's a good point, because we don't want to exclude ports.
Exactly. Could you Would you like me to restate my motion? I don't think we'd adopt.
We haven't suspended the rules.
We haven't a motion yet. We're just going to
discuss things in the session.
So we agree. Thank you. Make a note of all these changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair members. Yes, indeed. What we've just discussed is a conceptual amendment. First of all, looking at the Dash 16 amendments, page 16, lines 11 through 20 is what we're looking at. We would delete the word native on line 14. We would insert the line, on line 15, we would insert the term local when we refer to held by local, state, and federal agencies. In addition, the other additional conceptual amendment would be to the other amendment, the 17th, and that is replacing native habitat with habitat. Throughout the document on the 17th is where we would be making that final conceptual amendment.
Mr. Chair, just a point of clarification. We're looking at the Section 9 in the 16s going into Section 9 of the 17s, which begins at the bottom of page 15 in the Dash 17. Thank you.
Except that we're talking about subsection 9.
That's what I meant.
You've got to correct these senators every once in a while.
So we're ready now for a motion to suspend the rules. I'm trying to think.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying better. Is your motion still on the...
Let me ask this. Have we exhausted everybody? This is going to be a dark day in the Capitol. We've exhausted already. Have we exhausted everybody's request for conceptual amendments?
Are there other conceptions out there? Conceptual amendments?
I might as well get into this game, too. On page 16 of the Dash 16 amendment, in line 18...
Page 16 of the Dash 16?
Line 18, it says agency. I think that should say entity.
So once again, members, that is of the Dash 16 amendment, page 16, line 18, the second to the last word in the sentence, instead of agencies, agency, we would substitute entity.
Mr. Chair, Attorney Leonard, I would ask again, does anybody have any other conceptual amendments they want to lay on the table? If not, I'll move to suspend the rules.
Suspend the motion. Is there any objection to the motion? Carries.
I'd be glad to make the motion, and I think that you probably would do well to read the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I understand, the intent of this motion is to move the conceptual amendments into the Dash 17 amendment. Just to be clear on that, we would be replacing in the Dash 17 amendments, we're on page 15, beginning on line 28. We would replace that subsection 9 stated there for the subsection 9 that we just conceptually amended on page 16 of the Dash 16 amendments. As conceptual amendment, and with the addition of, we've already also, we're looking at the conceptual amendment throughout the Dash 17 to replace native habitat with habitat.
Just to clarify that, what we're adopting in the substitute paragraph 9 is from the Dash 16 on page 16 to delete the word native
on line 14, to insert the word local between by and state on line 15, and on line 18 to replace the word agency with entity.
And that is my motion.
Any discussion of the motion? Senator Cruz?
And we're also deleting the word native wherever possible in the conceptual amendment.
Okay. Any more discussion? Will clerk call the roll?
Representative
King?
Aye.
Representative
Cruz?
Aye.
Representative
Morgan? Yep.
Senator
Duke?
Aye.
Senator
Allison?
Aye.
Senator Hughes?
Aye.
Senator Connor?
Aye.
Senator Barrow?
Aye. Chair, I move the dash 17 amendments as conceptually amended to House Bill 3225. Motion to adopt the amendments. Any discussion of the motion? Will clerk call the roll?
Representative
King? Aye.
Representative Cruz? Aye. Representative Leonard? Aye. Representative Hunter?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Yes.
Sir, I move House Bill 3225 to the floor as amended with the repass recommendation. Any discussion of the motion?
Yes,
sir.
Doesn't the bill go away to me? Not to the floor?
I will amend my motion. I move House Bill 3225 as amended to wait to me.
Jack, I have a question on discussion. Why does it go to Ways and Means? This is a policy bill, and there are budget bills out there for every one of the agencies that will get any money, and I assume there will be a budget bill before we sign and die for OWEB. So don't we just run it all through that?
We look at the last two pages. I refer to staff on that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You will notice in the Dash 17 amendments, we are not only creating the Parks and Natural Resources Fund, but if you will look on page 22, starting on line 27, we do have blanks in there that we do expect Ways and Means to fill in those blanks, and that is why the recommendation is to recommend to the Speaker that we move it to Ways and Means.
I have a 2-minute conversation with my colleagues. About this. 1 minute conversation with my colleagues before we make that vote.
That must be one of them.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Lennox, I will move House Bill 3225 as amendment. As amended by the Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Have you heard the motion?
Any discussion of the motion? Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support this motion. This has been a very contentious process to this point in time. I have some real concerns. We put together a pretty broad-based group that has worked on this for a long period of time, and my problem is that it seems to me that we are ultimately taking the position of being more concerned as to how the people in Salem who make policy feel about this than we are the people of Oregon who are going to implement this, and that is a concern. And will continue to be a concern. and it will continue to be something that I'm going to keep a very close eye on, because ultimately, if we don't have something that can garner the trust of the people of Oregon to engage in the process, this thing is going to fail, no matter what we create here or no matter how much money we put into this. And I'm going to view this as the front end of an evolution, and I hope it continues to be an evolution.
Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I would concur with Representative Cruz's statement. I'm also going to vote for this bill, but there is a huge feeling of disappointment here that we failed to open up the Oregon plan to citizen participation in a meaningful way. And I think that one of the problems that we have had with the way that the plan unfolded is that the administrative end of it is essentially closed to the people and closed to the legislature. And I think that we need to recognize that we failed to correct that situation. And I, too, along with Representative Cruz, will be looking to continue to work in that direction.
Any other comments? Representative Thompson?
Well, it sounds strange, but I hear here to what you both said. I think this is an evolution. And it's taken us a long time to get here, and part of it is because this is a 14-man committee with the co-chairs, which is virtually an impossible situation that you guys have worked under. And I'm happy to be able to be a part of this. I think it's a good thing for the future, and we'll be happy to vote for it.
I just want to concur with all the comments, because I think that this committee during the last interim stayed very closely connected with this process, and I assume that that's going to be a high priority on our agendas, whoever's on that committee in the future, and I think that's what will make the process successful. If we think we've done a piece of work that we can step away from, I think we're grossly wrong. So, are there any other comments?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and colleagues, the bill that we have, I think, is the result of a lot of struggle.
It is difficult to try to communicate with as many folks as we've got around the table, but it's also very hard to communicate with the larger transformation members scattered across, which are the organized stakeholders. Everybody's got some direct interest in this issue, so it doesn't surprise me that we've had a contentious, long process to get where we are. I'm confident that we'll stay engaged with the Oversight Committee. We've given a new board that's involved in most of the things we've ever seen, even though it doesn't really cause maybe just the one to see the right direction. It does create an organization that gives direct voice to watershed and so a lot of conditions in helping to set the direction of the Oregon. I think that's a good thing. So I'm happy. So I'm hoping that we can come out of the community. It's a unanimous vote for passage. I'm hoping that we can get to the floor on both chambers and have good acceptance so that we send a message not just that this is the way the right thing for watershed and water quality and everything. I'm going to be voting yes. Very good numbers in the House.
Senator Colonel.
Mr. Chair, I think the biggest majority of things go to Janet Holman. She has put in a lot of long, hard hours. I know I've seen her here late at night. And good, bad, or indifferent, it won't be because of lack of her effort.
I would certainly, I think the whole committee would like to second that. Jenna, you've been tremendous in this, and I know we've passed you to your limits, as well as Judith. Are we ready for a vote? Representative Jensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going to reluctantly support this amendment. I think we've missed a opportunity on this committee to move further ahead. And I hear the representative from Newport comments about the size of the committee that may have made it awkward I would respectfully submit that the attendance at the committee might have complicated that problem, and that had we approached this with the same diligence much earlier in the session, we might have gotten a little further with what I would think maybe a little better committee. I'd like to thank all of the people and appreciate all of the people who had worked hard outside of this room, including Jeanette and Judith and far too many others to mention, for the efforts that they made, and I know some of them are going to be very disappointed, and I hope that our oversight of this group as we proceed through the interim will at least restore some of their confidence in what we do here.
Thank you. Chair, real quick. Okay, Leonard?
I would just like to say that I have observed in this building over in a bipartisan way over a number of years the observation that some chairs think of compromises when they get their way. And it's very frustrating for me to observe the process when it works like that. I just want to compliment both the co-chairs. You both have dramatically different styles. One of you is more out front and vocal, and the other is quietly working behind the scenes. I'm going to let you figure that out. But I've actually been one here who's actually enjoyed observing this process, and give both of the co-chairs credit for understanding the true nature of a compromise, and that's what I think effective leaders are made from, and so I just wanted you to know publicly that I appreciate the hard work both of you put in and the compromise that you reached to get us to this point.
I thank you. I appreciate the comments. I'm afraid if we don't hurry up and vote, we're going to comment. So the clerk call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much, committee. I want
to. This is the end of business for our committee, and we'll cancel the meeting tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if that's so bad. I don't think
they have one scheduled for this week.